Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. Yes, sir.
That's the show today, boy. We fit in on that topic pretty darn well. Yes, we do. Country boys. But we're here to answer any question you might have about your house, home, castle, or cabin. We call ourselves Rosie on the House. We're celebrating our 25th year on air. And we have a toll-free number that you can call us and let us know your name, where you're calling from, and your question. The toll-free number is 1-888-767-4348. Already today, we've taken calls from Aguila, Waddell, Elgin, Scottsdale, Phoenix, Mesa, and Tempe. Let us hear from you. Let us know what you're trying to tackle around your house, home, castle, or cabin here at Rosie on the House. Y'all stay tuned. In segment two of this hour, we'll be giving you an opportunity through membership at Facebook at Rosie on the House to win a $100 gift certificate from Jewels and Estate Gallery by G. Darrell Olson. We always talk about them around Mother's Day and Valentine's Day because they historically, over the years, we have a tradition of them providing us with gold roses. Well, now they're providing us with $100 gift certificates, and if you go to the store to use it for a gold rose, mention Rosie on the House, you'll get the gold rose for $65, which is about a 20% discount. So all of that being set up for you to help celebrate Mother's Day. Romy, where are you going to take us this morning here at Rosie on the House?
You need to do something.
I do?
Yep.
What did I forget?
Not that we want to mislead our listeners, but you need to say it's like a $600 rose.
A dozen of them would be.
You don't have to get that specific.
Mom a whole dozen.
Yeah. It sets you an easy for people that forget holidays like myself and events and birthdays. It's a really easy solution. And I have all the girls at home believing that's about how much one costs.
Oh, well, I'll leave that between you and the girls.
Hey, we are. This is Urban Garden number 3. Today we're talking about summer heat preparation for vegetable production. In the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about goat production. In studio with us, many of our listeners know, Mr. Greg Peterson. Good morning, sir.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You are the founder of the Valley Permaculture Alliance.
Yep.
You are the owner-operator of the Urban Farm.
Yes.
And now Root Phoenix.
Root Phoenix, yes.
Tell us, that's the newest one to me.
Yeah, basically Root Phoenix is the place where we offer all our classes. I have two awesome business partners, Heather Taylor and Shannon Boomer, and we came together about a year and a half ago to, you know, offer all the urban farming and the kitchen classes and, you know, anything that you would like to re-remember. You
know, and if somebody's listening right now and has an interest in urban farming, how much space do I need? How do I know to disqualify myself from this conversation?
Don't.
Perfect answer.
Don't. Yeah, if you have a small porch, you're great. What I always tell people is if you're going to, you know, grow something like an herb, because it's the most expensive thing to buy and the easiest thing to grow. You know, basil is just, it's not rocket science. You just put it in a pot and make sure it gets water and it grows. It's that simple. And
now, why can't all plants be like that?
Yeah, no kidding. Like tomatoes.
Ugh,
yeah,
man.
Well, to start off, one thing that a lot of people, I mean, you hear this stuff about GMOs, genetically modified organisms. GMOs, heirloom. We're not going to get political.
Right.
We are just going to give a little education starting off. What specifically does that mean? As an industry term and right. To the consumer.
Right. So GMOs or genetically modified organisms are plants and animals that have had a gene taken from one species and put into another. Like they took a gene from a fish and put it into a tomato. Right. And they're trying to, in that case, they were trying to be able to freeze the tomato so that when the tomato unfroze, it would still be a tomato. That was that experiment. It didn't work. They didn't do it.
Didn't work? Ah.
So, yeah, exactly.
Good thought, though.
It was a good thought, interestingly enough. So, but from a gardening home, you know, a home farming perspective, the genetically modified seeds, I don't think we'll see them not anytime soon in our gardens. So as an urban farmer and as a home gardener, that's not something that we need to be concerned with.
And you made a great point about when we were speaking earlier this week or last week about, you know, neither one of them are going away. GMOs aren't going away.
Right.
Heirlooms aren't going away.
Right.
I visited yesterday with Julie Murphy, my friend at Arizona Farm
Bureau. Yes. Julie's great.
She's dear. She was, I mean, as a consumer, I have this big GMO scare sign flashing in my in my brain.
Right.
But she just said in the grocery stores, you're not going to run into it. And the main, well, as far as the produce, fresh produce.
As far as fresh produce.
Right. But it's, which if you're really concerned about it, then you should stay away from processed foods that contain corn, wheat, or soy.
Exactly.
Okay.
And actually, the genetically modified crops are corn and soy. They're not genetically modifying wheat at this point, although there are a lot of chemicals used on wheat that can negatively impact our health. That, you know.
Well, there's so many issues now with people with gluten.
Gluten,
so, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you've got questions about your house, home, castle, cabin, and now that it's been stated, that's what GMOs are.
Right.
That's kind of the end of that conversation.
Okay, perfect.
Let's get into planting.
All right.
Well, I've got a question. You know, this term gluten.
Yes.
I've grown up my whole life and I never saw or heard of a gluten. And now it seems like whatever that is, we have an entire civilization allergic or averse to gluten.
Uh-huh.
What is it?
A gluten is a part of wheat. And really the gluten intolerance, it's a much deeper conversation than we have time for here, but gluten intolerance is really, it's like glue. So it gets in your intestines and it kind of glues things up. So you can't process food properly. And it really, personal opinion, I really think that it has to do with the amount of chemicals, that are being used and the processed foods that we're eating. I teach at ASU a class called Sustainable Food and Farms. And one of the papers that they have to write is what is real food? They have to go out and discover for themselves what real food is. Yeah, I know. That is an eye-opener them.
It's not in the freezer aisle?
Exactly. It's not in the highly processed aisle. So I really think that that's the biggest issue is that we eat so many processed foods.
I agree. And I think, so that's why we're here this morning. If you're concerned about these things, then grow your own. So Greg's here to help us figure out how to do that.
Yeah, grow your own food.
Yeah.
Now, let's back up a little bit and talk about your first project, your home on Glendale and about 13th Street that was a quarter acre lot.
Yep. It's about 14,000 square feet. It's called the Urban Farm. I moved in there in 1989 and recently moved out. Not to worry. Shannon Boomer, another great urban farmer here, is in there running the urban farm. There's over 80 fruit trees on the property.
80 fruit trees?
80 fruit
on
trees.
On a quarter acre.
On a quarter acre. And when you stand in the front yard and the backyard, it doesn't look like it. It's big open space. Because I use the edge all the way around, the edge of the property, and then I keep the trees small. It's a concept called urban orcharding.
Okay. And are they dwarf trees? Or are they trim trees?
Yeah, typically we stay with standard-sized trees and then prune them short, prune them small. A lot of the dwarf rootstocks don't do really well here in the valley, in the desert soils. The entire landscape is edible. So at any given moment, there's 20 or 30 or 40 things that we can actually go out in the landscape and harvest. We have chickens. Harvest the sun. So there's two different kinds of solar panels on the roof. Really it's a space that people, when they walk into the front yard, I love it when somebody walks into our front yard and says, where is the urban farm? And it's like, here it is.
Right here.
It's everywhere's around you.
Because it's been nicely landscaped.
That's what I wish would catch on as much as this gluten-free fad or whatever it is. I mean, edible landscaping.
Yes.
I'm a new convert.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing ever going to be planted on my property ever again that you can't eat. It doesn't make it. You water it, you fertilize it, you trim it, you edge it, you care for it, you talk to it, you sing to it, you pray over it. Nothing is ever going to get planted on that lot ever again that
unless
I can't eat.
Exactly.
Now, it's, I will admit, and I don't mean to scare anybody, it's intimidating when you walk into a completely done and you start on at your own with nothing.
Right.
It can feel like forever getting there. How long did it take you to transition this property into what it is today?
Well, probably 20 years. But here's the thing. It's a slow process. You know, one step at a time. I study and teach something called permaculture, permanent agriculture, or permanent culture. And it's about how we integrate ourselves into nature. Right. And permaculture is about protracted observation. So you stand back and you watch. and you watch some more, and then you do a little bit of something, and then you watch some more. Now, if I was stepping into a new place, which I actually have, I've stepped into a new place. It's an apartment with a about a 15 by 20 foot backyard to it.
Okay.
And that's where the hidden urban farm is going to be.
The hidden urban farm.
I think that's what I'm going to call it, or something like that, right? And that space I'll have done in 6 months to a year. But a big part of the 20 years was me learning about it.
Oh, man.
You know, I had to spend thousands of hours learning about edible landscapes and you know, trying things. And permaculture is very much about, okay, you put this in place and watch to see what happens. See how it works.
Very interesting. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you'd like to join the conversation, we are standing by. We're going to cover composting, mulching, topsoil, soil prep, because that that's where it starts.
That's exactly it. That's the biggest thing.
We have, let's start from, you know, just from scratch. We've moved into a new home.
Right.
And we didn't select a landscape option from the builder.
Perfect.
So we've got maybe a little bit of concrete in the corner from the clean out, maybe some paint over here from the clean out and a puddle.
Yeah.
We've got maybe a little bit of rutted up from the trucks pulling out, just this nice dust harvesting scenario. So that's where we'll pick up right after this, and we'll start our development from there.
Perfect.